Hey, Wonders. I have no idea if that term caught on, but I still like it. As the television series comes to an end, I wanted to take a moment and let you know what the plans for the future of this podcast look like. Obviously, we'll be finishing out the series with these next few episodes, and we'll be doing a recap of some kind when it's all over. And yes, we'll be covering the films, but probably not right away. Elise and I are going to take a little time off and come back probably in the new year with our commentary on the films. For one thing, the films are going to take a lot more time to cover, and we have to figure out the best way to handle them. It's been so amazing over the course of this journey, all the incredible support we've received from listeners, and so many of you encouraging us to move on to another series. I will say that at the moment, we don't have any plans to do so. It's certainly not for lack of enthusiasm on the part of so many of you. This just feels like a very singular experience for Elise and I. I can't think of any other recent series that has had the cultural impact that Sex and the City had, that also takes place in the city we both live in addition to the fact that it's been such an opportunity for our often contrasting points of view. This doesn't mean we'll never be back. I hope very much that you continue to follow us on social media and stay subscribed to the podcast. Who knows exactly what the future holds, and we hope that whatever it entails, you'll be around to experience it. Thank you all again. Let the journey continue. Hi, Elise Castle.
Hey, Mike Jensen.
We are here today to discuss Out of the Frying Pan.
Butthole Down.
Okay, is that our new...
That's just our alert button. Okay. I figured might as well start something new, like four episodes in the end. This is a Butthole Don about Butthole Don. I realize that a few people have reached out and been like, did I miss something? And maybe you did. When we were discussing what to call this segment that for a long time we just called things that Elise missed or got wrong, we were thinking of different ideas of what to call it. And since I was frequently saying Butthole Don... And one time that came out as Butthole Don, and then we developed this whole character of Butthole Don. That's why they're called Butthole Dons. And I think we do definitely talk about it. I can't remember if we talk about it in an actual episode or if it's in an outtake. If it's in an outtake, you should always listen to those anyway, because it's just Mike really making me look like an idiot. So, yeah, Butthole Don is derived from... But hold on. But Butthole Don is a good man. And he helps us a lot.
See, and I think of it as a woman.
He thinks of Butthole Don.
But I love that you say, like, I'm saying Butthole Don, and he thinks of Butthole Don. Like you're no, not, it's not
I'm
any...
I'm saying Don, and you're saying Dawn. Okay. See, it's only because I'm trying to round out my vowels, because I get judged for my Midwest accent. So instead, I will just say Butthole Don.
Okay.
Here we are, Out of the Frying Pan.
January 25th, 2004. This is directed by Michael Engler. This is his last episode with us. Thank you for your service, sir.
Thank you, sir.
Written by Jenny Bix. We have our DVD recap. When Petrovsky and Carrie talk about Samantha and her cancer, Carrie becomes shocked and repulsed by Petrovsky's cut and dry viewpoint on the subject. Samantha's treatments go well, but she admits to both Carrie and herself that her condition scares her greatly. A princess enters Charlotte's life, making her conception problems more tenable. Steve suggests that he and Miranda move the family to a bigger place in Brooklyn, but the thought of leaving Manhattan doesn't sit well with Miranda. That was a pretty good one.
That was. It was like just right to the point.
Well written. So we start off with, when you're dating someone new, everything can seem foreign.
Especially when they're foreign.
Yeah.
Which this was also the first episode that I noticed that Carrie really refers to Al as just the Russian.
My Russian had been taking me around the world. Greece in Astoria, Italy in the Bronx. Tonight, it was Korea on West 32nd Street.
Where there's also karaoke.
Always karaoke. Uh-huh. Very late karaoke. And I believe there's also like bars that don't ever close.
Oh, I wonder.
I just remember here. I just like those are like New York tales. Like, oh, yeah, I went to this place in Koreatown. And
I've definitely done like Korean barbecue there before.
Yeah, for sure. But I feel like
long ago,
you know,
I do like that she emerges in her, you know, very poofy dress. And he
her
just gives
petticoat.
Her a, and he just gives her a wow, you look. And she says, thank you.
Yeah, it's I mean, it's not actually a petticoat, but it reminds me of something that when you were doing, I know I talk about it a lot, but the Music Man that you would have put under your costume. You
gotcha. Know? And he says that they're going somewhere very exotic.
Yes, we are going to a mysterious place.
Well, just so you know, I'm fully vaccinated.
Good, good.
So, should we get a cab?
I've not been to this mysterious place before, but I believe we're gonna walk.
I'm intrigued. Continue.
And it's a very long way to say that he's just cooking at her place.
Right. And he has bags from Citarella.
And I feel like he could have warned her. I don't know. If someone was suddenly like, oh no, we're cooking at your place, I'd be like, okay, well, I would like some notice.
Yeah, but he doesn't do things traditionally.
He doesn't.
Have you been to Citarella?
I've been in there before. I don't know that I feel like I once checked on a friend's spiraled ham once.
Oh.
Because she was worried it wasn't spiraled.
Okay. So, wait, you went there to, they were spiraling? Like, what?
Yeah, she had ordered a spiraled ham. Okay. And she was concerned that it wasn't spiraled. So I had to take it back in and be like, my friend is concerned this isn't spiraled. And they were like, no, no, it is. We promise.
Oh, okay. Yeah, I've been there. I have a friend that used to live by one on the Upper West Side. And it's very nice. It's
they
expensive.
Have really good prepackaged food,
right,
too,
so
right?
We would go in there sometimes and he would get like one piece of cooked salmon. But it was always very expensive. But I think because it's already prepared, it's good quality. It's just right. Like, there's a lot of those in New York, like higher end specialty stores.
I do always
stores.
Think it's interesting that there's that, you have like Fairway next to Citarella next to Zabar's.
Yes.
And I guess they all do very well because they all
well, they all
like
do different
coexist.
Things.
I guess so.
You know, I mean, they all do different things very well. Yeah, and the food there is really fantastic. They also just opened one in Hudson Yards. But that just kind of, to me, if he has all of his groceries from that place, it's kind of like, oh, this man has money.
Sure. Yeah.
I just said groceries. It would be like someone doing all of their shopping at Dean and DeLuca, R.I.P.
R.I.P. I think it's coming back. We'll see.
Okay.
And then we have Art Schmart, the man can cook.
Yeah, and I'm just a little concerned because there are sweaters in her oven.
I'm going to guess he took them out while he was cooking.
Who knows? I mean, he could have just surprised her and fired it up.
I've never made the risotto in the frying pan before.
And
impossible.
She has no chairs, which I guess makes sense because she has no real table.
Right. She just eats in that one accent chair right. by her computer. And his foot sleeps.
Yeah, I got that. His foot sleeps. He loves the house and says it's so her.
Mm-hmm.
Small and artless?
No, warm and lovely.
And then I wrote, it's not weird that she doesn't have an espresso machine.
No.
Like, that's a rich person thing to say.
Now we'll have espresso. Or a European thing, I feel.
Maybe. Do just all Europeans have espresso machines?
Well, it's just, I think it's more common that okay. it would be something, because it's more common to have espresso post the meal more frequently. So if you're someone that cooks at home, you'd probably have an espresso machine, maybe a Nespresso machine. Yeah, and she might have an old Mr. Coffee one cup.
I remember those.
That's Mike's nickname.
Okay. And then there's a mouse.
Yep.
And she screams.
Yeah, there's a mouse and Al is a monster is what I wrote.
Would you not be able to kill a mouse like that?
Absolutely not. We recently had it's been a year since mouse, but we had a mouse and it got killed and I cried for 3 hours because I just felt so terrible. Like, I don't want it in my house, but
I know,
I also
it's
don't
so
want
rough.
It to die.
Like, mice don't bother me. I'm not afraid of them.
No.
I would be startled if one, like, came out of nowhere, but, like, I actually kind of like them,
yeah.
But they can't be in my apartment. And so, like, the couple of times that I have had one has been really, really difficult. Like, it makes me really sad. I don't know if I have a picture of this anymore, but there was once at my mom's house, because she sort of lives in, not the country, but, like, in a fairly rural area, that I walked into her living room and there was a little mouse on the floor. And it was just kind of moseying along. Like, it wasn't really running anywhere. In fact, it was, like, I picked it up. It, like, let me pick it up, and I just sort of took it outside, and it kind of walked away through the grass. I don't know. It was very calm.
Did you have a picture of it? Is that why?
Yeah, I took a picture of it in my hand. I probably have it somewhere.
Yeah, one of them. There were, as Al says, where there's one, there is more.
Yeah.
So the first one didn't make it. The first one is with the angels. The second one we caught in a humane trap, and then we walked it to the park and let it go. And then the third that we saw, we haven't seen yet since we did what Al also does later and patched all the holes.
I also think where there's one, there's more is a New York thing. Like, I think that, like in my mom's case, it probably was from outside and, like, right. had wandered in.
Yeah.
And I do like Carrie's response of,
oh, that mouse is dead. Wow.
Yeah, it is.
It's
it is
good.
Gross, though. I mean, aww. I wouldn't have been able to just smash.
Yeah, I think it was sort of reflexively.
Didn't you throw a rat out the window?
I did. I didn't know what else to do with it.
No, that is huge, probably.
Yeah, it was disturbing.
Yeah, we're going out.
So we cut to popsicles at chemo.
Mm-hmm.
And Miranda is being kind of suggestive with
that
popsicle.
Yeah, she's working that grape.
It's
Steve was one lucky guy.
I'm like, all right, girl.
Well, you guys are having a good time.
Mm, you bet. Cancer is hilarious.
Are all you as fun as Samantha?
We try.
Yeah, this nurse is Cindy. I feel like I'm gonna say her last name wrong. I'm gonna say Cheung, Cheung. And she's been in everything. I didn't even list anything because if you look her up, like, she does like 8 TV shows a year, it feels like.
I went to school with someone with the same spelling and they pronounced it Cheung.
Okay. And Samantha's her favorite.
Mm-hmm. Cancer is hilarious. That's what Samantha says.
And we find out that she's going to Smith's movie premiere.
Mm-hmm.
I'm getting a hot dress, fantastic shoes. I'm going to kick cancer and that red carpet's ass.
Yeah, so then we go shopping for coffee makers.
Yeah, they're in the kitchen supplies department.
And this actually reminded me of the kitchen supplies department. I think they're at like a... Because I don't recognize exactly where they are, so I think they're at a Bloomingdale's or a Macy's.
Must
or
be. I thought it was funny they just refer to it as the kitchen supplies department.
But this also reminded me, the fact that Al is taking Carrie shopping because he feels she needs a coffee maker reminds me of you with the babies from last week, where you were like, I have to, you know, I feel like Carrie shouldn't want a baby because I don't want a baby, and Carrie should want a baby because Charlotte wants her to have a baby, and I don't think Carrie wants a coffee maker.
Yeah, though I think it's not a bad thing for Carrie to have. I feel like she spends a lot of money at Starbucks and Au Bon Pain or wherever
she
goes.
Yeah, but I don't think... But I do think... There are some people that, like, I don't think Carrie is a consuming at home person. Like, I think Carrie will have the coffee maker and she won't use the coffee maker.
I think that sometimes we get things for others or have... Like, there was a time that I... For a birthday that I got a friend, like, ice cube trays and an ice cube holder. And another friend was like, are you buying her this because you want her to have it for you? And I was like, sure, kind of. But also, you know, it's a thing that this person has now. Right. Carrie has a coffee maker now.
It's not at all what I expected. They have these Barca loungers and videos and popsicles. You throw in shuffleboard, it'd be a vacation in Miami.
And she's mostly just commenting on how not bad things seem to be.
She's gonna be fine.
And all of this is to sort of bring us to the fact that we find out that Al had a friend who also had breast cancer, and she died.
And she died.
And I put it that bluntly because he puts it that bluntly. Right. So we cut to Charlotte frying eggs. Those eggs are done.
Yeah. Dr. Steiner calls Charlotte and her eggs are burning.
Yeah.
Is what I wrote. And I mean...
And I guess, is that...
Yeah, I'm wondering
there.
Because the next line is that none of her eggs are viable.
Again.
And I guess I didn't realize that till right now, that she's making eggs while they're talking about eggs.
Yeah. There's also just a lot of frying pan references in mm-hmm. this in general.
But that's not a frying pan. That's like a griddle.
Yeah. And she wants to try IVF for the third time.
It'll work. I mean, it has to.
Which is, I mean, IVF is very expensive.
It's expensive. Yeah, it's, I don't know if it's painful, so I don't want to
Yeah, I don't know. I have no idea, but.
I'm thinking of freezing your eggs, which is different.
And, you know, she says that she's okay and she's going to go for a run.
Yeah.
And it, you know, clearly she's not okay.
But I don't think finances are a problem.
So. No, I guess that's true. But
and
I,
also, yeah. I think, like, something that is that important to you, I think money is no longer a thing. When it doesn't have to be, money isn't a thing. Like, for those types of people. Now, if you were someone who didn't have disposable income.
Part of me is just like, I don't know, how much money do you spend?
Right.
And I totally understand that for some people, being a biological parent is that important.
See, I think that until a doctor says to Charlotte, there's no hope, it's kind of like Samantha with that doctor. Yeah. Like, if there's still a chance, she's going to keep going.
So she's out in her Burberry earmuffs and scarf.
Yep. And she is going for a run.
Yeah. And I wrote, she was most popular, head of the track team, and student body president. And just remember that she was also homecoming queen. Anyways, this is all, we're going to get to more of a point on this later. But basically, we get to, like, she didn't win the baby race.
No, but she's very fast.
She is very fast.
Meanwhile, across town, a couple who had won the baby race had lost their bedroom. To their baby.
Miranda and Steve are apartment shopping because there's no room. Yeah, they're sleeping in the dining room.
Charming midtown two-bedroom? Why don't they say what it really is? Crack house on an air shaft.
And Steve may have found something.
Mm-hmm.
But it's in Brooklyn.
And Miranda only wants Manhattan.
Yeah, she's a Manhattan girl.
But Steve is Queens and he's not so bad.
Yeah. And poor Fatty.
Yeah. Fatty got let out of the laundry room, and so Scout is...
Well, I don't like that Fatty has to live in the laundry room.
Well, I think that...
You need to teach those cat and dog how to get along.
Right, but I think that...
It's not impossible. I've seen the videos.
I understand, but I'm just saying, like, Fatty strikes me as the type of cat that's like, I don't, like, shuts the door herself. She's like, I don't want to deal with you people.
I want to be alone.
Yeah.
And Miranda agrees to look at the apartment.
Right.
And Al is forcing Carrie to drink very strong espresso against her wishes.
I'm going to need a little milk in this.
Then it's not espresso. Milk will ruin it. Keep sipping it.
I don't like Al.
Well, I don't like Al either, but that's not what happens.
It is what happens.
She takes a sip. She's like, ooh, that's strong. I have some milk. And then he says no. And he says, you know, you just sip it.
And you'll get, I don't know. I don't like it. If she wants milk, she gets milk. And Carrie just brings up the other day and feels like, you know, he wasn't being very sensitive to her feelings. And the first thing that I want to say about this is that I'm kind of not on anyone's side here.
I'm sorry about your friend, but my friend is going to be fine.
And my friend died.
See, you're doing it again.
Here's the thing, because Carrie keeps saying, please don't talk about your friend who died, right? But in the first thing, I believe it's in the first moment when they're buying coffee makers, at some point Al says her name is Chloe. Or sorry, at some point Al says her name is Sophie. And in that moment, I thought, Carrie, he's trying to say, like, this is important to him.
Yeah, I think that's in this moment when okay. he brings up her name.
Right. So when he brings up the name and she's like, just don't, I said don't talk. I'm like, but I get where he's coming from, where he's just saying we need to share experience. Like, we need to share sadness. And why am I not allowed to share my sadness because it is bothering you? You know what I mean? I don't know. At this point, I saw where they both were coming from. I just don't think Al was using the best choice of words, but I think kind of what eventually we'll hear Miranda say later, I just don't think that he knew what words were the most.
Yeah, I mean, this sort of harkens back to Carrie's very light and Al is very dark.
Mm-hmm.
And neither of them are really figuring out the proper way to speak to each other. But I wrote basically he's being a dick and she's being a child. And then they kind of say that only right. she says asshole.
Yeah.
So they're just not communicating. But I both understand both sides and think both sides are not handling it well.
Right. And I don't like Al, but I think that Al is only behaving the way he is because Carrie is being so childish about it. Because all he's really saying is, oh, I have a friend who died, but he won't let her or she won't let him even explain any further.
Yeah.
So we don't even understand why he said that because she just keeps being like, don't talk about that. You know, it's interesting. I don't know.
Yeah, I just think her point is like, I can't hear about that right now.
But she's not saying it.
But
either is he.
Right.
Right. So that's what I'm saying. They're just being idiots.
So she's in bed thinking about the first fight.
And I didn't know if it was the strong espresso or the strong words. But either way, not even my feet slept that night.
So Charlotte is approached by a dog in the park.
Princess Dandy Ridge Brandywine, come here.
And is in this case, the dog already has the Burberry, right? So we're already seeing that it's sort of a match.
Thank you.
That's a mighty big name for such a little dog.
Well, it's a show name.
Yeah, the owner is Dana Ivy.
Trudy Stark.
Yeah, she was the original Miss Daisy. She is a 5-time Tony nominee, including for my favorite piece of art ever created, Sun in the Park with George.
I want to hear a funny Dana Ivy moment.
Sure.
So just this past Sunday, I was watching The Addams Family with friends. And she is in that.
Is this the new animated one?
No, the original.
The original, okay.
Yeah.
I vaguely remember. I feel like I saw, we just talked about one of those movies. And I feel like I've seen bits of both of them, but I don't know either one very well. She's also, for the record, in The Color Purple, Postcards from the Edge, and, of course, Legally Blonde 2.
Anyway, we don't have to say it, but she plays Margaret in The Addams Family.
Okay.
In the original movie, and my friends had made a comment about Dana Ivy, and I was like, how do I know her? And I got in a lot of trouble because I recognized her and I knew her, but the fact that I didn't know her from Sunday in the Park with George.
Yes.
I got in trouble for that one.
I do love her in that. That is, yeah, she shares one of my favorite scenes, like maybe in the history of musical theater in that show. Anyways. So Princess is a show dog, but she's a loser.
Yeah, she didn't make it.
This one, 2-time loser. She doesn't show anymore.
She's bred from champions, but she's defective.
Oh. Yeah, one of her hind legs is too short. Such a shame. She had so much promise. She just isn't a winner.
And that's kind of it. Yeah. I actually really like this character, but, you know, I like mean.
And you kind of see that Charlotte identifies.
Sure, yes. So Miranda gets a cab, but the cab doesn't go to Brooklyn. And this used to be a thing. Like, I remember when I first moved to New York, it's so weird to think, A, about the fact that cabs only took cash. Like, not that long ago. And B, like, I remember living in Harlem, and there were cabs that wouldn't drive me to Harlem.
Yeah, it's actually, they have to. If you're, they yes. can, if they have to drive anywhere in the five boroughs, so Manhattan, Queens, the Bronx, Staten Island, and Brooklyn. And they have to go to the airports.
Yeah.
Which are in the boroughs.
I'm telling you, it wasn't that long ago.
I know, but they...
The cab drivers would literally say, like, no, get out of my cab.
It's happened to me before. If I've... it doesn't happen often because getting to Queens from the city isn't difficult.
I think it's also important to remember that it wasn't... Like, we're going to get way more into this as we go along. Right. But in this time period... It wasn't cool to live in Brooklyn.
Right.
It wasn't cool to live in Queens.
Right.
Like, you wanted to live in Manhattan. There weren't restaurants in Brooklyn. I mean, I'm sure there were, like, little, tiny places, but it was a totally different landscape. Now people want to live in Brooklyn.
Yeah, now Brooklyn is more expensive than Manhattan.
In a lot of places, it is. Yeah, it's very expensive. But this was, you know, it wasn't that long ago, but it was a lifetime ago as far as, like, those neighborhoods go. So I wrote, Samantha is orally pleasuring Smith, and he ends up with a handful of hair.
Well, at first, I thought Smith was Samantha from the back.
Oh.
Because he's slender and he has that hair. And I was like, what is Smith doing down there? And then I was like, oh, okay. Yeah, and her hair, he grabs a clump of her hair. He loses his bonesy.
Yeah, she tries to breeze by it, but it's clearly killed. I said it's killed the moon for him.
Apparently, Samantha wasn't the only one losing something that night.
And she goes to take a bath.
Yep. And then we cut to Carrie and Miranda walking.
They're in meatpacking, right?
I think so.
At first, I thought they were farther up in Chelsea, but, like, the camera kind of turns and I think they're in meatpacking.
Samantha's not gonna die, right?
Of course not. She'll be fine.
Her hair started falling out at a really bad time.
Oh, God. Was she at work?
No, but she was definitely doing a job.
Ha, ha, ha. And it's mostly just a conversation about Samantha.
She's a trooper. She'll be fine.
Yeah, I know.
Samantha, and then bringing in her Russian, wasn't being sensitive about Samantha.
Is this who I'm seeing? A man who kills mice and optimism?
Well, it's not denial. They got it early. She's gonna be fine.
You are aware that you've said she'll be fine three times in half a block.
Yeah, I just picked up on that, too.
Steve wants us to move to Brooklyn. And what I thought was a little bit like, is when Carrie's like, now that is information I can't handle. Like, we're talking about your friend really struggling with her chemotherapy and, like...
But moving to Brooklyn.
Yeah, outrageous.
That's too much.
Yeah.
But, yeah, I mean, I remember when my best friend used to live in my building. And when she moved to Brooklyn, I thought that I was going to die.
Oh, yeah, my best friends live... a 5-minute walk from me, and I know, you know, that when they leave, you're like, oh no.
Yeah, it is very upsetting. Right. I mean, you know, in the scheme of things, it is
right,
not
but I'm not saying it's not upsetting. I'm just saying in this conversation it seems insensitive.
I don't know what happened with my typing, but the next sentence that I have is Carrie is think and ringing. And we get to the question.
Okay, so...
So what I mean is she's thinking and writing.
Thinking and writing. And also she has an intense espresso machine for probably never drinking it.
Probably.
I mean, it's a really good espresso machine. And she's never going to use it. And she's never going to drink it. Because she doesn't like espresso, even though Al forces it on her. So yeah, we get to the question, which is basically just denial, friend or foe. And I feel like we kind of talked about this with the babies, where it's like... You can convince yourself that you don't want something just because you don't think it's possible.
Yeah, I mean, I think in the end, denial is foe.
Right, it's not...
But it can feel friendly.
It can feel friendly and it can feel comforting.
Right. It's just putting it in the freezer.
Yeah, it's the Mike Jensen.
It can feel very freeing. But in the end, no, you have to face actual reality.
Or you don't have to, and you freeze. But I mean, the thing about...
But it feels very warm for a while.
But the thing about denial is, yeah, you I don't even want to say life is easier if you're not living in denial, but it's better. Does that make sense? Because sometimes facing the shit and dealing with it is really hard and really painful.
Yeah.
But it ultimately is freeing.
Absolutely. So Charlotte's going to go for another run.
Harry is researching adoption.
He thinks it could at least be a backup, which... This is good. Like,
yeah.
That's a good thing.
Right.
No matter what it is. I think there are even, like, instances in which simply taking the pressure off by looking at another option can be helpful.
Right.
So Charlotte sees Trudy and Dandy Ridge in the park.
And she brought turkey bacon for Dandy Ridge. But what about those other dogs?
Yeah. I don't know where the other dogs are. Are they
there? They're there. They're just, like, off to the side. I mean, they're show dogs, so they must be well-behaved.
Probably.
But normal dogs would be like, give me that bacon.
Yeah. And I love... It's not very nice, but I love how not into the dog Trudy is.
Well, she really loves you.
Oh, who wouldn't love her? Look at that face.
I also wrote, I don't care for babies or labs. Trudy or Mike Jensen?
I like labs, though, and I care for babies.
You know, just because somebody doesn't perform the way that you want them to doesn't mean that you should just give up on them.
Yeah, Charlotte has a bit of a breakdown.
Mm-hmm.
Thanks for coming.
Are you kidding me? This is going to be fun.
One of our listeners reached out to me, Allison, and she wanted to share her experience. She was like, once you get to the frying pan, let me know because I have a lot to say about it. So she just shared that she had a very similar experience to Samantha in this episode when she was going through chemotherapy and was trying on wigs, and that every wig was just kind of awful and the lady helping wasn't very personal. And she eventually did find something, but she wanted to pass on that, you know, she thought about this episode where the guy was like, this is candy. And she felt like, she says she looked like a Snapchat filter. So she just wanted to share not to settle for a wig until you really find one that's right for you. And, you know, I think that this episode kind of shows that. And, you know, even in these moments that we don't necessarily identify with because we haven't had these experiences and sometimes they seem outrageous or people don't act like that, it's always interesting to have someone like reach out and say, oh, I dealt with that too. And this is how I...
Yeah, I mean, my note is a bit later on in the scene, but I just wrote, I feel like she's in the wrong place.
These are our best natural hair. Sassy and pretty me.
No and no.
So Jonathan Hadari, I'm probably saying his name wrong. Mm-hmm. Hadari, anyway, he comes to help. He's a Tony nominee for 1990's Revival of Gypsy. And I believe he was in the original cast of Torch Song Trilogy.
Oh, wow.
So he's showing her the best, but they don't seem great. And this is where I wrote, I feel like she's in the wrong place.
Yeah, he...
Like, I feel like she went to, like, a fun, like silly kind of place.
Wigs and Plus on 14th Street.
Oh, is that what it is?
No, that's just the name of a wig store on 14th Street. Totally makes sense.
Carrie's also clearly trying on wigs, whatever. The conversation gets a little hostile.
Yeah, there's a moment where he says, this is a Ronnie Magritte. Is what it sounds like he's saying.
It's from the Ronnie Magritte line.
But it's not what my subtitle said. They said like Rene Magu. I don't know. Anyway. So then what I thought was funny is they give Samantha a Carol Brady mullet is what I wrote. And then 2 seconds later, Carrie says, you look like Florence Henderson.
Yeah.
It's like clocked it.
Yeah. And Samantha storms off.
Yeah. Well, then they put her in a Khaleesi wig. And I know that because I've seen one episode of Game of Thrones. And then Carrie, we're going. And then another mouth. I'm sorry.
I know. Yeah. Carrie,
this
once again,
like
has to
apologize. This is like Carrie's new thing when she's with Samantha.
It is worth noting that Sarah Jessica Parker played Annie.
Yes.
In the original Broadway production of Annie. And she is sort of wearing an Annie wig in this moment. So a little homage, if you would.
But she wasn't the original.
She was not the original, but she was like the third or something like that.
Right. Do not take that star away from Andrea McArdle.
I never would. So the two of them are at lunch, and Samantha can handle the chemo, but the hair thing is too much.
It's only temporary. It'll grow back.
And until then, I have to look like a sick person, and I don't do sick person.
Because you're not.
Mm-hmm. And I love when she says, Carrie, please, let me talk about what I'm afraid of.
The denial part of me wanted to say, you'll be fine. Instead, I said, okay, I'm here.
And I realized in this moment, like, I didn't realize in this moment, I've known this for a while, but Carrie, it's not always about you. Like, just because you don't want to hear your friend being sad because it makes you sad.
Sure, but I don't necessarily think that's what's happening here. I think that Carrie thinks being the cheerful optimistic is helping.
Right.
And it is until Samantha says, I want to talk about this, and says, like, well, I could die, Carrie, with really bad hair.
Cancer. Turns out. That's so hilarious.
And we cut to Samantha shaving her head, I put in quotes. Not that I expect Kim Cattrall to shave her head in reality, but this is clearly, you know, something. There's like a short wig underneath a big wig.
Right. And Smith comes in. He got her BlackBerry message, BBMs, as they were called. Very big deals.
And wants to know why she's not coming to the premiere.
Mm-hmm.
I'm shaving my head, all right? And it's scary and awful, and you can't handle it.
Who says I can't handle it?
You freaked out after just a few little hairs.
You freaked out too?
You lost your heart on.
Shit happens.
This is very intense, and you're being very sweet, but there is no way that you can relate to what I'm going through.
And I can't tell if she's actually trying to scare him off.
I don't think she knows. I think she's just, she can't handle it, so how is he going to handle it?
And it, you know, being vulnerable in front of another person is very difficult.
Mm-hmm.
And I probably more so for Samantha, who hasn't really done that before.
Right. But after he's finished with his cue ball, he's moving right over to her, and he shaves his head. And then Smith gave Samantha the very best head of her life.
The next day, Miranda endured her first out-of-borough experience.
Yes, so we cut back to Miranda and Steve, and they're looking at the house in Brooklyn.
And Steve is saying how great it can be and pointing out all the good stuff, and of course Miranda isn't buying it.
No.
And then Steve says it.
Yeah.
Miranda, this isn't just about you anymore.
And I love Miranda's response of,
oh my God, I'm married.
I think she just had this moment where she's like, oh, I have a kid and a dog, Fatty's at home, and a Steve. And then they go outside, and of course she has the moment where she looks outside and she sees Brady running around and Scout. And the owner, the landlord, comes up to her. I guess he's not the landlord because they're going to buy it. Or maybe they're renting it. They're buying it, I'm assuming.
I think they're buying, yeah.
So what do you think?
We're very interested, but I'll want to bring in an engineer. I'd require a long escrow, and if the furnace isn't up to code, I'll need it replaced.
And I'm thinking, what about the other couples? Because when the scene opened, there were other couples looking around.
I think this is just her way of being like, I'm taking this seriously.
Yeah.
I said that she gets all Miranda-y.
Mm-hmm.
And now we're on the red carpet for a movie called Needles, California.
As I've written down here, Gus Van Santa, premiere of Needles, California.
And there's some fun interview ADR.
What everybody's talking about to perform this day, I mean, like, really, really great.
You're so sweet to say that.
And then out comes Smith with a shaved head.
And Samantha can't deny cancer, so she becomes
Lil' Kim.
Yeah. I mean, Lil' Kim had worn like a pink wig like that.
Right. I would rather her
right around this time
done the Lil' Kim VMA look with the seashell boob.
It was a very special delivery from Miss Stork.
So then Trudy just gives away her well-behaved dog in a basket.
Yeah, the next day there's a delivery. And Harry says they can keep it, but she needs a new name.
And they decide on
the most beautiful possible
Elizabeth Taylor.
Elizabeth Taylor Goldenblatt.
Yes.
Yeah, I do want to know what that process was of like, I don't know, put this dog in a basket and take it to this person's house. I don't even know where they live.
I don't know where they live. Put this dog in a basket. The dog just like sits there the whole time.
Yeah. This is my new home.
Mm-hmm. I live here now.
So Carrie's sleeping and is awoken by a mouse in her hair. I would be startled.
I would be startled too, but I think mice are very scared of us.
Yes.
One time I was taking a nap on my couch. This was during the mouse period. And I woke up and I looked and it was just staring at me on the ground. And then it ran away. So I don't think they crawl on me.
Probably not. Yeah, and so Al is there plugging up that hole. Not how I meant it.
Yeah, but he is with steel wool.
Yeah, and Carrie needs
Or as my landlord says, Brillo pads.
Yeah, we have those.
I know, but he just only refers to it as Brillo pads. Yeah.
And Carrie needs him to not talk so she can get it all out.
Mm-hmm.
Samantha is my friend. She's my family, my insides. She will be fine because she has to be fine.
And her whole point here is this is how important Samantha is to her. And that when he says, what he says feels hurtful. And he brings up the friend that died and Carrie reacts, of course.
My friend who died.
Oh my God.
Wait.
But he continues.
Mm-hmm.
Wait.
And he was surprised when his friend died.
Right.
And he doesn't want her to be surprised.
That wasn't what I was going the way I thought it was going to go. I thought it was going to go more like, let me tell you about Sophie in 1912. And like, it turned out to be his mother and he has a hard time even talking about it. So talking about it to Carrie was a huge deal and she wouldn't even let him talk about it. Fan fiction.
You really went there.
Mm-hmm.
And she just says she needs her relationship with a little bit of milk.
Dairy Queen.
Your friend will be fine.
Thank you. And I'm sorry about Sophie.
So I guess that kind of brings us to a truce between the two of mm-hmm. them. And we get to the ladies out having Manhattans.
Brooklyn. I can't even say it, let alone live in it. You'll all come visit, right?
Oh, talk about denial.
She says they have to come visit, and Charlotte says they will. Carrie is less committed, and Samantha flat out says no.
Yeah, and there's a lot of Manhattan wordplay.
Yeah. And Anthony Venezia Alley asks if they need more drinks.
Another Manhattan?
Who's that?
The funny thing is, I meant to look this part up, because he was previously on the episode Great Sexpectations. But I don't know who would have played on that. I knew him at this time. He was one of the original founders of Freestyle Love Supreme.
Oh, which is now on Broadway.
Yeah, he's currently on Broadway in that. But he was a founding member of that with Lin-Manuel Miranda and Tommy Kail. I worked on a benefit at the Drama Bookstore back like right around this time and met Tommy and Anthony. I did not meet Lin to my knowledge. And I actually was a PA on a short that he directed called The Top Floor. I'm waiting for my IMDb credit to kick in, but that's fine. But yeah, anyway, so I kind of knew him back in the day and was very jealous that he got to be on Sex and the City.
Are you done name dropping now?
Never!
Okay. Well, that's cool. I didn't know that, Mike. Yeah. Learning new things about Mike Jensen every Thursday. That's when we record, by the way.
That is.
So there's lots of Manhattan wordplay, and I think you're right. Maybe at this time, I mean, now I think Manhattan's great, and I love it, but I do think that there are parts of Brooklyn that are actually probably more exciting than Manhattan.
Yeah, I think that it's probably just partly a mindset.
Yeah.
Like, I live in Manhattan, and I don't ever really want to not live in Manhattan. Like, right. I love that I live on this island, but I totally get that, like, you don't, and you love that you don't.
Right.
But first of all, I put that Samantha took Carrie's big earrings advice.
Oh, yeah.
Because she definitely has some earrings going on.
Well, we also start to see that Samantha's going to be circulating some wigs.
Yeah, or embracing the fact that she doesn't have her hair. Like in this, she's doing the scarf look.
Right.
Do you remember that awful apartment that I had on 17th Street? The one with the water box?
Oh, what about your horrifying studio sublet on Riverside Drive?
Oh, I blocked it.
Man, I have had some really shitty apartments here. Why do I think living in Manhattan is so fantastic?
Because it is.
And that's kind of it.
It would be childish of us to deny that our lives weren't changing. But for this night, none of us were going anywhere.
Okay, I couldn't help but wonder, did they sterilize the F out of that countertop after Al just like squashed vermin? Because they were just ready to go out for coffee.
Yeah,
and like they just really needed to like bleach that.
I couldn't help but wonder if that salesman actually thinks he's being helpful. Or thinks that those wigs are really great.
Well, as a listener wrote into us, that happens.
Yeah.
So I think that people do think they're being helpful and that those wigs look great. And unless you've had that experience, you probably don't understand what it's like. You know what I mean?
Right. That a person that is, I mean, with the pink, she clearly went for like, I'm wearing a wig. But her intent was looking for something that looks natural.
Or looked like her.
Right.
And also, he doesn't know what she looks like.
Well, she still has her hair now.
Right, I guess.
So that's it. Out of the frying pan. The next episode should be called Into the Fire, but it's not.
The frying pan is also the name of a boat restaurant in New York City.
I did think about that. It didn't exist then.
I wasn't sure. It's off one of the piers, and it's like a restaurant bar on a boat, and like people always want to have their birthday there.
Yeah. It can be cute, but it can also be very crowded.
And it can also be very far west, and you have to walk.
It's true. All right, we'll be back next week.
Bye.
Bye.
You can visit us at wecouldn'thelpbutwonder.com, like us on Facebook, and follow us on Instagram, all at wecouldn'thelpbutwonder with no caps, no spaces, and no punctuation, and Twitter at WCHBWpodcast. You can follow Elise at Evie Castle and me at MikeJensen77. Special thanks to Patrick Hines. Make sure you check out theaterpodcastproductions.com to see all the work that he does. We would love it if you would share this podcast with someone. Put a link on Facebook or tell a friend. Take a moment and rate us on Apple Podcasts, or even better, write a review. And don't forget to change your settings to play in sequential order. We'll be back next week with The Cold War.
And we have our DVD recap. That was a weird way of saying that.
Mike has 5 copies of The Artist's Way.
I do. I just keep giving them away. I'm never going to do those morning papers. Miranda and Brady are apartment shopping because there's no room.
No, Miranda and Steve are apartment shopping.
That's true.
Brady's Miranda... not there. He's in the other room. But they don't need a monitor because their apartment is too small.
Yeah, Miranda and Brady are... I said it again.
Nobody's on nobody's side.
I don't know what that is.
Chess.
I don't know chess.
Ugh.
Mm-hmm. And not even her feet asleep that night.
That was an eye roll. And then she responds that it has like a lot of work and she's going to have to bring in an engineer and all this stuff. And I wanted him to respond with "screw the engineer," which is from Miss Saigon, but he doesn't, obviously. But anyway, he wants to.